On behalf of Japan and the Japanese people, I offer with profound respect my eternal condolences.
I thought his words and his demeanor and his tone, I thought was very effective.
History is harsh. What is done cannot be undone.
Hello, welcome to Japan in Focus. I'm Eleni Salters. Coming up, why a video showing bullet train cleaners has become a YouTube sensation.
It's just impressive that people who clean for a living would take so much pride in their work.
And protests continue over the Abe government's security bills. It's been 50 years since South Korea and Japan signed an historic agreement to normalize relations between Tokyo and its former colony. The leaders of both countries chose to celebrate the event this week separately in their own capital cities. There are still a number of unresolved issues between Seoul and Tokyo, including revised history books, disputed territories, and the recognition of wartime atrocities. I spoke to the Japanese Ministry of Foreign Affairs spokesman Yasuhisa Kawamura about what progress has been made between the two countries.
Well, I think our relations have been normalized for quite some time. If you look over the past 50 years, Japan and South Korea have witnessed three main things. First, the expanded people-to-people exchanges. And number two is the close economic relations. And number three is increased cultural exchanges. So the number of visitors coming and going between Japan and South Korea has become 500 times if you compare the figure of 1965. And the bilateral trade has become 110 times. And Korea also opened the door for Japanese culture in 1998. And Japan and Korea jointly hosted, as you well remember, the World Cup soccer game in 2002. So with those efforts on both sides, we see that our bilateral relations have broadened their scope and it has further deepened today.
But both Prime Minister Abe and President Park remained in their capital cities to mark the 50th anniversary. Why weren't they able to celebrate this together?
Well, let me explain what the Prime Minister thinks. The first thing is that Japan and Korea, as allies of the United States, share various strategic interests. And also, Japan and South Korea's joint work and collaborations would benefit not only for the just of two countries, but also for the peace and stability, which is the vital interest of the whole Asia-Pacific region. So with those basic notions and strategic interests, I think Prime Minister would like to promote the good relations with South Korea.
Yes, indeed, both nations are allies of the United States, but what progress has been made if the two leaders can't be in the same room together?
But as you remember, last March in Seoul, there's a gathering meeting of the three foreign ministers, Japan, China, and South Korea. And those three foreign ministers agreed that the trilateral summit meeting should be held within the near future, in the possible and near future. So those countries agree that the efforts for holding the summit meetings between the three nations should be held. That's one thing. Then another thing is that the Prime Minister Abe is continuously saying that the door is open for the summit meeting with the South Korean president. So we hope that based upon the recent foreign ministers meeting in Tokyo, we will make an effort for holding the bilateral summit meeting in the near future.
But one reason why President Park is refusing to see the Prime Minister is over that issue, comfort women, the thousands of women, men and children used as sex slaves during Japan's military rule. More than 20 years ago now, the Japanese government released its Kono statement recognising this issue. Does the Abe government support this statement still?
The Abe cabinet upholds the Kono statement and has no intention to revise it. That's what Prime Minister Abe said in the remarks on the issue of the comfort of women when he visited the United States this past April. He held the joint press conference following the summit meeting with the U.S. President Obama. He clearly said that the Abe cabinet upholds the Kono statement and has no intention to revise it. But before he said it, he also touched upon his feeling, how he felt the comfort of women issue itself. he said that regarding the comfort women issue, I am deeply pained to think of the comfort women who were victimized by human trafficking and experienced immeasurable pain and suffering. So this feeling I share equally with my predecessor. So it is very clear that he upholds the Kono statement, and also he has no intention to revise it.
Now, on another issue, both Japan and South Korea claim they own the disputed Dr. Takashima Islands. How do you see this issue being resolved between the two countries?
Well, the Takashima is indisputably Japan's inherent territory in light of historical facts and based on international law. So the issue would not be resolved overnight, but Japan will continue to resolutely discuss it on the basis of international law with Korea from the broader perspective in a calm and peaceful manner. So we will continue to discuss it with the South Korean government.
But does it help that a town in Japan celebrates an annual festival called Takashima Day with government officials attending? Is that somewhat provocative?
Provocation, it might not be the right word, because we believe that Takashima is inherent territory of Japan. So from our perspective, that Japan will hold such an event.
Yasuhisa Kawamura there from the Japanese Ministry of Foreign Affairs. And you're listening to Japan in Focus on ABC News Radio. Thousands of people have been protesting in Tokyo in the past week over new security bills, which would enable Japan to fight overseas for the first time since World War II. Under Article 9 of the Pacifist Constitution, Japan is restricted to a self-defense role. However, legislation currently being debated in the Japanese Diet would allow for collective self-defense, meaning that the country could use force to defend allies under attack, even if Japan itself is not being attacked. Mana Shibata is a co-leader of the so-called Students Emergency Action for Liberal Democracy. She told me why her group is against the legislation.
It really comes down to about like our everyday life, because if Japan changed this, Japan changed the security bill, and we are able to go to war anywhere in the world to support the U.S. Army, basically the ones who are going to war is our generation and maybe my brother, my children, and that's why we're against this, and we don't want to go to war, we don't want to kill people, we don't want to get killed. And we've been protecting this peace since the end of the World War II for 70 years. And as everyone knows, we experienced horrible things and we just don't want that to happen again.
Now, your group is holding a number of protests across Japan, and it comes as recent polls show a lot of people feel like they haven't been properly informed about the security bills. What's your understanding of the security bills, and do you think the public has been adequately informed about what it means to change the constitution or reinterpret it?
I think that the cabinet or the prime minister hasn't done any proper explanation, I guess, to the public to explain why we need this and why he's doing it and what it constitutes and what it means to, you know, change the security bill. So I think, like, talking to my friends, they don't even know about it. They kind of know, but they don't know what it actually means. I think that's the other reason why we're doing this, because there is just, like, my friends and I guess my friends' friends are really just indifferent about politics and what's going on in society. So I think we're providing a space for everyone to come and to voice their thoughts and their opinions.
And what's the mixture of the people coming to these rallies?
To be honest, I think currently more than half is not young. Is they're either like dad's moms or like grandparents or grandma kind of age people.
And of course, this month, the Japanese Diet has voted to lower the voting age from 20 to 18. Do you welcome this move?
I think lowering the age of voting is good, but I think there needs to be a proper education in politics and current politics and what's going on in school, I think.
Mana Shibata from the protest group Students Emergency Action for Liberal Democracy. And you're listening to Japan in Focus on ABC News Radio. A 90-second video showing bullet train cleaners in Tokyo has become a YouTube sensation. There have already been 3.7 million views since it was first posted in January. Charlie James, a journalist from the American Broadcasting Company, made the film as part of a Tokyo Metropolitan program promoting Japanese culture. I asked her why she decided to focus her work on cleaners.
I had actually taken the Shinkansen before I started the program down to Kyoto and back, and I had just been so impressed with how well run it was, how clean it was, how on time it was, and how well behaved everyone acted on the train. That was just my impression of Japan in general. People are very well behaved in public and clean, and I'm sure they would be horrified if they rode the subways here in New York.
They're astonishing figures, Charlie. 323 bullet trains a day departing Tokyo with 400,000 passengers. It seems like there's no room for error within the network.
It's all very precise, and obviously these cleaners take a lot of pride in their work, have been very well trained, and that's something that I'm not sure every person who cleans a train in the world would feel. I think that's partly why this video has been getting so much attention, not just in America, but in France, in India, in Britain, because it's just impressive also that people who clean for a living would take so much pride in their work, which is not necessarily a job that every person would consider something that they would necessarily put all of their effort into every day, but these people do. And that's across Japanese culture. No matter what your job is, you do it to the best of your ability because that's just how society works there.
And they display their pride literally as they line up and bow to the bullet train once the job is done.
Right. They bow at the end. They all line up and bow, and they actually bow. You can see at the beginning of the video, they bow as the train enters the station as well. And it's I asked specifically why they do that. So when I put at the end of the video that it's an expression of, I believe it was pride and diligence or something along those lines. They also bow to you at the convenience store when you check out. It's a very, which I can't imagine happening, something like that happening here in America.
Nor here, might I add. But your video shows the cleaners sweeping and wiping away at an awesome speed. But what stood out for me was that there was no graffiti anywhere on those trains.
No, there was no graffiti. There generally just wasn't a ton of trash on the floor either. I watched them do it and filmed them do it, I think, 4 times in total. And I also had to be really careful to stay out of their way because they made it clear to me, you can tape this, but they are still doing a job. And this is a train that is actually being turned around to go. So you can't get in their way because they literally only have a certain amount of time or it'll throw off the whole system. One thing that I didn't include in the video that they told me as well is that they also have a special powder that they use in case some of the late night trains, people drink a lot on the trains and there are sometimes accidents. And so they have a special powder that quickly solidifies vomit that they can clean up really fast. So that's something I didn't include in the video, but that they also told me.
And Charlie, what about lost property? In a country where honesty is highly valued, what happens to these items left on bullet trains?
Well, I actually wrote a piece for the Huffington Post about lost property there. I went to go visit the lost and found department of the Tokyo Police Department. And the most shocking thing to me was that 75% of lost cash that people either leave in their wallets or drop on the floor, is returned to the police station and it makes it back to the owner. I mean, in New York, if you drop a $100 bill on the ground anywhere, you just chalk it up to City Living and it's gone. No one's going to return that. But there, they actually make it a part of school, of elementary school there, of learning how to return things when you find them. And so it's really ingrained in their culture from early on when they're children.
Well, the same thing happened to me. I lost my great-grandmother's wedding ring in Japan, left it at a bathroom in a restaurant, and 3 days later they called me and it was still in the bathroom. No one had touched it.
No, it's an extremely honest society. And for a city of that size, Tokyo is, I think, 3 times the size of New York, and it's amazing how well-run it is.
Charlie James, a journalist with the American Broadcasting Company. And that's all for Japan in Focus for this week. Jamata ne. See you next time.